You are listening to RudolfSteinerAudio.com. If you are listening to the podcast of this, it is located at RudolfSteiner.podbean.com. Please consider becoming a patron. As well, there are two publishing houses, SteinerBooks.org in America and RudolfSteinerPress.com in England, who are the sole publishers of Steiner into English and have given me permission to do these recordings. Please consider patronizing them as well. This is a reading of Collected Works, Volume Number 27, by Dr. Rudolf Steiner and Dr. Ida Wegman, entitled Extending Practical Medicine, formerly known as Fundamentals of Therapy, translated by Anna Moyes. This is Chapter 19, Characteristic Illnesses. In this chapter, we present a number of case records from the Institute of Clinical Medicine in Arlesheim. They will show how the attempt may be made to use insights into the non-physical aspect of the human being in order to gain such a comprehensive picture of the pathological condition that diagnosis immediately shows which medicine needs to be used. The underlying approach sees falling ill and restoration to health as parts of the same cycle. Disease begins with an irregularity in the composition of the human organism as regards its aspects, which have been described in this book. It has reached a certain point by the time the patient comes for treatment. We need to see to it that all processes that have taken place in the human organism from the beginning of the disease go in reverse again, so that we finally arrive at the state of health the organism had before this. Such a process, which reverses on itself, cannot be achieved without a loss of growth forces in the total organism that is equal in value to the forces the human organism needs to grow in volume in its childhood. The medicines should therefore be such that they do not only reverse the pathological process, but also support the patient's vitality, which is going down. Part of this latter effect will have to be left to the diet given to the patient. However, in more serious cases of illness, the organism is not, as a rule, in a position to develop sufficient vitality in the processing of foods. It will therefore be necessary to make the actual treatment such that the organism is also given support in this direction. This has certainly been done with the typical medicines developed at the Institutes of Clinical Medicine. It therefore needs fairly detailed study before one realizes why a preparation has certain constituents. In the evolution of the disease, attention must be paid not only to the localized disease process, but to changes in the organism as a whole, which must be included in the process of reversal. How our thinking should go in the individual case will be shown by specific cases that we are going to characterize. Having described them, we shall continue with general considerations. Case number one. This was a woman aged 26. The whole person showed an extraordinary degree of instability. The patient showed quite clearly that part of her organism, which we have called the astral body in this book, was in a state of excessive activity. One saw that this astral body could not be adequately controlled by the eye organization. If the patient wanted to do some work, the astral body immediately came to a boil. The eye organization tried to make itself felt, but was constantly repulsed. As a result, the temperature goes up in such a case. In a healthy individual, regular digestive activity depends on the eye organization functioning normally. Impotence of this eye organization came to expression in persistent constipation in the patient. One consequence of this problem in the digestive system were the migraine-type conditions and vomiting she presented with. In sleep, it is evident that the impotent eye organization causes the organic activity that goes from below upward to be inadequate, damaging exhalation. The result of this is excessive accumulation of carbon dioxide in the organism during sleep, which shows itself at the organic level as palpitations on waking, and on the psychological level in feelings of anxiety and shouting. Physical examination showed nothing but a deficit of the forces that effect a regular relationship between astral body, ether body, and physical body. Excessive independent astral activity means that too few forces flow from the astral body to the physical and etheric body. The latter, therefore, continue to be delicate in development during the growth period. On examination, this was evident from the fact that the patient had a gracefully slender, weak body and complained of frequent back pain. Back pain develops because spinal marrow activity is exactly the site where the eye organization must make itself felt most strongly. The patient also spoke of many dreams. This was due to the astral body evolving excessive independent activity when separated from the physical and ether body during sleep. As a first step, we had to strengthen the eye organization and reduce astral activity. The first is achieved by selecting a medicine able to support the eye organization where it is getting weak in the digestive tract. Copper may be recognized to be such a medicine. Used in form of a copper ointment dressing placed over the lumbar region, copper has a strengthening effect on inadequate warmth development, which comes from the eye organization. We shall see that abnormal cardiac activity is reduced and the feelings of anxiety disappear. Excessive independent activity of the astral body can be combated with minimal doses of lead taken by mouth. Lead pulls the astral body together and wakes the forces in it, through which it combines more strongly with the physical body and the ether body. Lead poisoning consists in the astral body being too strongly connected with the ether and physical body, so that the latter are subject to an excessive process of destruction. The patient showed distinct improvement with this treatment. Her instability gave way to a certain inner firmness and certainty. Her state of mind changed from being torn apart to being inwardly contented. The symptoms of constipation and back pain disappeared, and so did the migraine-like conditions and headaches. The patient had her ability to work restored to her. The end of case number one. Case number two. Male patient, aged 48. Had been robust as a boy, psychologically sound. Stated that he was treated for nephritis for 5 months during the war and discharged fit. Married at age 35, 5 healthy children, a 6th died at birth. At age 33, mental overexertion was followed by depression, tiredness, apathy. These continued to get worse. Parallel to this, he felt he had lost his bearings. He faced questions that revealed the negative sides of his work to him, He was a teacher. And he had nothing positive to set against this. The pathological condition showed an astral body with too little affinity to the ether and physical body, and immobile in itself. Because of this, the physical and ether body brought their own inherent qualities into play. The inner feeling of not being properly connected with the astral body caused depression. Not being properly connected with the physical body, tiredness and apathy. The way that the patient felt lost in spirit was due to the fact that the astral body was unable to utilize the physical and ether body. In connection with all this, sleep was good, because the astral body had little connection with the etheric and physical body. For the same reason, however, waking up was difficult. The astral body did not want to enter into the physical. A normal connection with the physical and ether body would only come in the evening when they were tired. The patient, therefore, only really came awake in the evenings. The whole situation indicated that one had, first of all, to strengthen astral body activity. This can always be achieved by giving arsenic by mouth in form of a natural mineral water. You will find that after some time, the individual has more control of his body. The connection between astral body and ether body grows stronger. Depression, apathy, and tiredness come to an end. Now, it was also necessary to assist the physical body, which had grown sluggish in terms of movement, because its connection with the astral body had been poor for a prolonged period, by giving phosphorus in minimal doses. Phosphorus supports the eye organization, enabling it to overcome the resistance of the physical body. Rosemary baths open up a channel for the removal of deposited metabolic products. Eurythmy therapy will restore harmony between the different parts, parenthesis, system of nerves and senses, rhythmic system, motor and metabolic system, close parenthesis, of the human organism, when it has been upset by inactivity on the part of the astral body. If the patient is also given elderflower tea, the sluggish metabolism, which has gradually developed because of that inactivity on the part of the astral body, will return to normal. We recorded a complete cure in the case of this patient. End of case number 2. Case number 3. Male patient, aged 31, artist, came to the clinic while on a concert tour in a condition of severe inflammatory functional disorder of the urinary organs, catarrhal symptoms, pyrexia, body excessively fatigued, general weakness, inability to work. The history showed that the same condition had existed on a number of occasions before. Examination of his mental state showed a hypersensitive, worn-out astral body. A consequence of this was susceptibility of the physical and the ether body for catarrhal and inflammatory conditions. Even as a child, the patient's physical body had been rather weak, not well served by the astral body. Hence, measles, scarlet fever, chicken pox, whooping cough, frequent sore throats. At age 14, urethritis, which recurred in conjunction with cystitis at age 29. At 18, he developed pneumonia and pleurisy. At 29, pleurisy again with an attack of influenza. At 30, frontal sinusitis. Persistent tendency to conjunctivitis. His temperature initially was 38.9 degrees Celsius, during the 2 months he was an inpatient at the clinic, and then went down, only to rise again on the 14th day. Later, it moved in waves between 37 and 36 degrees Celsius, occasionally going up to above 37 degrees Celsius, and would also go down to 35 degrees Celsius. The temperature curve is a clear representation of variations of mood in the eye organization. A curve of that type develops when the effects of half-conscious contents of the eye organization become active in the warmth processes of the physical and etheric body, with the astral body failing to reduce them to a normal rhythm. The total action potential of the astral body was concentrated on the rhythmic system in this case, coming to expression in the giftedness of the artist. The other systems got less than their share. One important consequence was great tiredness and sleeplessness during the summer. In summer, the astral body has many demands made on it by the outside world. Its inner action potential is reduced. The forces of the physical and ether body predominate. This presents as great tiredness in one's general feeling for life. The astral body's reduced action potential prevents it from separating from the physical body. This causes insomnia. Inadequate separation between astral body and ether body comes to expression in upsetting and unpleasant dreams, which are due to sensitivity of this body to damage in the physical organism. Characteristically, the dreams symbolize this damage to the physical body in images of human mutilations. The terrifying aspect of these is the natural, predominantly emotional content. One consequence of inadequate functioning of the astral body in the metabolic system is a tendency to chronic constipation. Independence on the part of the ether body, which is not sufficiently influenced by the astral body, means that proteins taken in with the food cannot be completely converted from vegetable and animal to human protein. Protein is thus eliminated in the urine, so that the protein test is positive. If the astral body does not function fully, processes foreign to the human organism develop in the physical body. The outcome of such processes is the development of pus. This represents a process in man that belongs to the outside world, as it were. The urinary sediment was found to contain pure pus, therefore. Pus formation has a psychological parallel. The astral body fails to process substances at the physical level and life's experiences at the psychological level. As matter is created as pus in a process that belongs outside the human being, soul contents arise that are outside the human range in character. An interest in abnormal situations in life, forebodings, omens, etc. What we had to do was to bring balancing, cleansing, and strengthening influences to bear on the astral body. The eye organization being very active, its activity may be used as a vehicle, as it were, for the medicinal action. An eye organization concentrated on the outside world is best treated by using medicinal actions that go inward from outside. This is done by using compresses. We first of all put melilotus on the compress. This acts on the astral body to distribute its forces and counteracts one-sided direction to the rhythmic system. It would, of course, be wrong to put the compresses on the part of the organism where the rhythmic system is specially concentrated. We put them around the organs where the metabolism and the motor system are concentrated. Head compresses were avoided because the change of mood in the eye organization, which comes from the head, would inevitably inhibit the action. It was therefore a matter of encouraging the astral body and the eye organization, which had to be put in harness together for the melilotus action. This we sought to achieve by adding an oxalate taken from burdock root. The action of oxalic acid is such that the eye organization activity is changed into astral body activity. We also gave medicines in weak doses by mouth, designed to let separating off processes become part of astral body functions in a regular way. We sought to normalize separating off principles that were governed from the head organization by giving potassium sulfate. Potassium carbonate was given to influence processes depending on the metabolic system in a narrower sense. Teucrium was given to regulate the separating off of urine. I'm pronouncing that teucrium, it's spelled T-E-U-C-R-I-U-M, end of readers aside. We therefore gave a preparation consisting of potassium sulfate, potassium carbonate, and teucrium. Throughout treatment, a count had to be taken of the highly unstable balance of the physical, psychic, and spiritual organism as a whole. Continuous bed rest had to provide for physical equilibrium, peace of mind for mental equilibrium, and only this made it possible for the different medicines to work together. Movement and excitement would make the complex healing process almost impossible. At the conclusion of treatment, the patient was physically strong and vigorous, and in good condition mentally. It is clear that one disorder or another may recur if there is a further external attack of any kind, considering the unstable state of health. It is part of the whole healing process that attacks of this kind must be avoided in such a case. The end of case number 3. Case number 4. A child who had been brought to the clinic twice, first at age 4, then at age 5.5. Also its mother and the mother's sister. The process of diagnosis led from the child's illness to the mother's and also that of her sister. With the child we found the following. It was a twin, born 6 weeks prematurely. The other child had died in the final embryonic stage. At the age of 6 weeks, the child fell ill, crying a great deal, and was taken to hospital. Pylorospasm was diagnosed. The child was fed partly by a wet nurse, partly artificially. It was discharged from hospital at 8 months. Arrived at home, it had a seizure the first day, and this recurred daily for the first 2 months. The child would stiffen in an attack, turning up its eyes. Attacks were preceded by timidity and crying. The child also had a squint in the right eye and would vomit before an attack. At age 2.5, another attack occurred, lasting 5 hours. The child went stiff again and lay there as if dead. At age 4, it had an attack lasting 30 minutes. This was the first attack, reported to be accompanied by pyrexia. The parents noted that the convulsions that happened after the child came back from the hospital were followed by paralysis of the right arm and leg. The child made its first attempts at walking at age 2.5. It was only able to step out with the left leg, dragging the right leg after it. The right arm also remained without will impulses. The condition still persisted when the child was brought to see us. What we had to do was establish the situation with regard to the aspects of the child's organization. This was done independent of the syndrome. We found the ether body to be greatly atrophied, in some parts only accepting a very low level of astral body influence. The region of the right chest was as if paralyzed in the ether body. On the other hand, we noted something like a hypertrophy of the astral body in the stomach region. Then the syndrome had to be considered in relation to this. The astral body was clearly putting a considerable strain on the stomach in the digestive process, which, however, was static at the transition from intestine to lymph vessels because of paralysis of the ether body. This resulted in malnutrition of the blood. The symptoms of nausea and retching thus had to be taken very seriously. Seizures always result if the etheric body grows atrophic and the astral body comes to have a direct influence on the physical body without mediation from the ether body. This applied very much in the case of this child. If the condition becomes permanent during the growth period, which was the case here, processes that make the motor system ready to receive the will in the normal way do not occur. This took the form of the child not being able to use the right side. We then had to connect the child's condition with that of the mother. She was 37 years of age when she came to us. She stated that she had been as tall as she was now at age 13. Her teeth were bad at an early age. She had rheumatic fever as a child, and maintained that she had had rickets. Menarche was relatively early. The patient said she had had a kidney disease at age 16, and also referred to some kind of seizures she had had. At age 25, she had chronic constipation because of spasms in the anal sphincter, which had to be stretched. She still had spasms with every stool. Diagnosis of her condition, based on direct observation with no conclusions drawn from her symptom complex, showed remarkable similarity with that of the child. Only everything was much milder in form. It had to be considered that the human ether body develops especially between the changing of the teeth and puberty. In the patient, this was evident from the fact that the available forces of the ether body, which were not very strong, made growth possible only until she reached puberty. This is the point where the special development of the astral body began, which, being hypertrophic, overwhelmed the ether body and intervened too strongly in the physical organization. This came to expression in cessation of growth at age 13. The patient was anything but dwarf size, however, and in fact very tall, which was due to the fact that the ether body's growth forces, uninhibited by the astral body, caused a tremendous increase in the volume of her physical body. These forces were not yet able, at the time, to intervene in the functions of the physical body in a regular way. This was evident in the development of rheumatic fever and later on of seizures. Because of weakness of the ether body, the action of the astral body on the physical body was particularly powerful. This was a destructive effect. In a normally developing life, it is balanced out by constructive forces during sleep, when the astral body has separated from the physical and ether body. If the ether body is too weak, as in the case of our patient, excessive destruction occurs, and in her case this could be seen from the fact that she needed her first filling in her teeth in her 12th year. If the ether body has extra demands made on it, as in pregnancy, this will always cause dental deterioration. The weakness of the ether body, as far as its connection with the astral body was concerned, was also particularly evident in the frequency of dreams and in the fact that the patient slept soundly, despite all the irregularities. The weakness of the ether body was also apparent from the fact that foreign processes not controlled by the ether body occurred in the physical body, presenting as proteins, occasional hyaline casts, and salts in her urine. It is interesting to note the way these pathological processes relate to those of the mother's sister. The diagnosis concerning the composition of the aspects of the human being is almost entirely the same. Weak ether body activity, therefore dominance of the astral body. Only in her case, the astral body itself is weaker than her sister's. Menarche was therefore early, too, but instead of inflammations, she merely had pain due to irritation of the organs, for example, the joints. The ether body has to be especially active in the joints if vitality is to go normally. If ether body activity is weak, the activity of the physical body becomes dominant, which shows in swellings and chronic arthritis in this case. The weakness of the astral body, which is not acting sufficiently on subjective feelings, is evident from a preference for sweet foods, which increase sensation for the astral body. If, in addition, daily life has worn out a weak astral body, the pain will be more significant if the weakness persists. The patient complained of pain getting worse in the evenings. The connection between the disease states of the three patients pointed to the generation ascendant to the two sisters, and especially the child's grandmother. The cause must lie with her. The upset balance between astral and ether body in all three patients can only have arisen from an equal imbalance in the child's grandmother. This irregularity must go back to the grandmother's astral and ether body not achieving adequate nutrition of the fetal membranes which feed the embryo, especially the allantois. This inadequate development of the allantois has to be looked for in all three patients. We established it, first of all, by purely spiritual methods. The physical allantois is metamorphosed, becoming non-physical, into the capability of the astral body's forces. A degenerated allantois results in reduced capability of the astral body, which shows itself especially in all motor organs. All this held true for all three patients. It is indeed possible to perceive the quality of the allantois by considering that of the astral body. It will be evident from this that our reference to the ascendance does not derive from hazardous conclusions based on fantasy, but from genuine observations using the methods developed in the science of the spirit. To anyone who feels irritated by this truth, we would say that the above has nothing to do with a love for going against accepted views, but a desire not to withhold insights, which after all have been gained from anyone. The mystical concepts of heredity will remain forever obscure if we shy away from accepting the idea of metamorphosis from physical to non-physical, and the reverse in the sequence of generations. As regards treatment, an insight like the above must inevitably give us an idea as to where the healing process should be initiated. If we had not been pointed in the direction of the hereditary aspect, but had merely noted the irregularity in the relationship between ether body and astral body, we would have used medicines that act on these two aspects of the human being. In the present case, this would have proved ineffective, however, for the damage, going through generations, lies too deep to be balanced out in these aspects of the human organization themselves. In a case like this, we have to influence the I organization, bringing everything into play that has to do with harmonizing and strengthening of the ether and astral body. We achieve this by addressing the I organization in enhanced sensory stimuli, as it were, parenthesis, sensory stimuli act on the I organization, close parenthesis. We attempted to do this in the following way for the child. A 5% pyrites ointment dressing was applied to the right hand, and at the same time golden agaric ointment, Amanita caesarea, was massaged into the left half of the head. Externally applied, pyrites, an iron sulfide, stimulates the eye organization to make the astral body more lively and increase its affinity to the ether body. The action of golden agaric substance with organized nitrogen, a special constituent, is to let an action going via the eye organization evolve from the head that makes the ether body more lively and increases its affinity to the astral body. The healing process was supported by eurythmy therapy, which makes the eye organization as such lively and active. This results in externally applied principles being taken to the depths of the organization. The healing process thus initiated was further enhanced by measures designed to make astral and ether body particularly sensitive to the influence of the eye organization. Using a rhythmic diurnal sequence, baths were given with a decoction of solidago, back rubs with a decoction of stellaria media, and both a tea made of willow bark, parenthesis acts specifically on the astral body's receptivity, close parenthesis, and stanum, 0.001, parenthesis specifically makes the ether body receptive, close parenthesis, by mouth. We also gave poppy juice in weak doses to induce the individual's damaged inherent organization to make room for the medicinal actions. The mother had more of the last of the above treatments, since she was one generation earlier, so that hereditary forces were less involved. The same applied to the mother's sister. We were able to note that while still in the clinic, the child was more biddable and the general psychological condition had improved. It was more obedient, for instance, and movements that had been very clumsy were done in a more skillful way. Later, the aunt reported that the child had gone through a big change. It had become quieter. The excess of involuntary movements was reduced. It has gained sufficient skills to be able to play on its own. And with reference to the psychology, its former obstinacy had disappeared. The end of case number 4. Case number 5. A woman aged 26 came to the clinic suffering from serious consequences of an attack of influenza in 1918 in conjunction with pulmonary catarrh that had followed a pleurisy she had had in 1917. The patient had never been really well since she had the influenza. In 1920 she was greatly emaciated, weak, with a slight temperature and night sweats. Soon after the attack of influenza, she developed low back pain, which got worse and worse until late in the 1920. Then the pain was extremely severe, and a curvature was noted in the sacral region. Her right index finger became swollen. Bed rest was stated to improve the back pain. When the patient came to us, she had a congestive abscess in the right thigh, bloated abdomen with slight ascites, and catarrhal sounds over the apices of both the left and the right lung. Readers aside, I'm pronouncing ascites A-S-C-I-T-E-S. Forgive my pronunciation there. Ascites. End of readers aside. Digestion and appetite were good. The urine was concentrated with traces of protein. Investigation using the science of the spirit showed hypersensitivity of the astral body and the eye organization. This kind of abnormality initially comes to expression in the ether body in that it does not develop proper ether functions, but an etheric off-print of the astral functions. Astral functions are destructive. Vitality and the normal process in the physical organs therefore had to show atrophy. This is always connected with processes that are normally outside the human being, as it were, taking place within the human organism. The congestive abscess, the back pain, the bloated abdomen, the catarrhal symptoms in the lung, and inadequate processing of protein were due to this. Treatment had to consist in reducing the sensitivity of the astral body and the eye organization. This is done by giving silica, which always increases the inherent powers to counter sensitivity. In this case, we added powdered silica to the food and gave it in enemas. We also derived the sensitivity by putting mustard plasters on the lower back. The action of this is to generate sensitivity on its own accord, which relieves the astral body and eye organization of sensitivity. A process to reduce astral body sensitivity in the digestive tract was used to channel this astral activity to the ether body, which is where it normally should be. This was achieved with copper and carboanimalis in low doses. The possibility of the ether body refusing to take up normal digestive activity, having become unused to this, was countered by giving pancreatic juice. The congestive abscess was aspirated a number of times. This removed large quantities of pus. The abscess was reduced and the abdominal swelling decreased, with pus formation decreasing steadily and finally ceasing. When pus was still being discharged, a further elevation of temperature took us by surprise one day. It did not seem inexplicable, for the constitution of the astral body, being, as described, even minor mental upsets could cause such a fever. Distinction must be made, however, between the explicable nature of such a fever and the severe damage it can cause. Under the given conditions, such a fever actually mediates profound intervention of destructive processes in the organism. Care must be taken immediately to strengthen the ether body so that it will inhibit the damaging effect of the astral body. We used silver injections in high potency, and this resulted in the temperature being reduced. The patient had gained 10 kilograms in weight when she left the clinic, and was much stronger. We are perfectly aware that in this case follow-up treatment will be needed to reinforce the cure. Incidental remark. The cases discussed so far were presented to characterize the principles we use to find the indicated medicines in the process of diagnosis. To illustrate this clearly, we chose cases where treatment had to be highly individual. We have also produced typical medicines, however, that can be used to treat typical diseases. The case histories that follow show the use of such typical medicines. Case number 6, treatment of hay fever. We had a patient with severe hay fever symptoms. He had been suffering with this from childhood. He came to us for treatment in his 40th year. For this condition, we have our Gencido preparation, Reader's Aside, spelled G-E-N-C-Y-D-O. I'm pronouncing that Gencido. End of Reader's Aside. It was given to the patient at the time, this was in May, when the disease was most acute. We treated him with injections and locally by painting the inside of the nose with Gencido liquid. When there had been definite improvement at a time when the patient would still have been greatly troubled by his hay fever symptoms in earlier years, he went on a trip and was able to report that he was incomparably better compared to previous years. The next year he was again traveling from America to Europe during the hay fever season and had only one attack, much milder than before. Repeating the treatment resulted in a perfectly tolerable state for that year. To effect a thorough cure, the treatment was again repeated the following year, though there was no actual attack. The patient's own words in describing his condition for a further year were, quote, "In the spring of 1923, I resumed treatment because I expected further attacks. I found that my nasal mucosa was much less sensitive than before. My work necessitated my being in the midst of flowering grasses and pollen-producing trees. I also rode on hot and dusty roads all through the summer. But with the exception of one single day, there were no hay fever symptoms for the whole summer. Indeed, I have every reason to believe that this one day only brought a cold and not an attack of hay fever. After 35 years, this was the first year I was able to be and work freely in an environment where I truly went through hell in earlier years." Close quote. End of case 6. Case number 7, treatment of sclerosis. A woman aged 61 presented at the clinic with sclerosis and proteinuria. Her presenting condition had followed influenza, with a slight temperature and gastrointestinal upset. She had not felt well since the attack of influenza. She complained of dyspnoia on waking, bouts of vertigo, and of a pounding sensation in head, ears, and hands that was a particular problem on waking up, but would also develop on walking and going up anything. Sleep was good. There was a tendency to chronic constipation and protein in the urine. Blood pressure was 185 mmHg. First of all, we considered the sclerosis, which was noticeable from hyperactivity of the astral body. The physical body and the ether body were unable to take in the whole activity of the astral body. In such a situation, an excess of astral hyperactivity is not absorbed by the physical and ether body. Normal, firm maintenance of the human organization is only possible if absorption is complete. If this is not the case, the non-absorbed part makes itself felt in vertigo, and above all, subjective sensory illusions such as pounding, etc. The non-absorbed part also takes hold of ingested substances and imposes processes on them before they have entered into normal metabolism. This was evident in the tendency to constipation and elimination of protein, also in the gastrointestinal problems. Blood pressure is elevated in such cases because hyperactivity of the astral body also elevates eye activity, which comes to expression in raised blood pressure. We mainly treated this patient with our Scleron, Reader's Aside, spelled S-C-L-E-R-O-N, scleron and a reader's aside. We merely added belladonna in very low dosage to support this and also deal with the vertigo at the time. We used elderflower tea to help the digestion, regulated her stools with enemas and laxative tea, and prescribed a salt-free diet because salts promote sclerosis. We saw relatively rapid improvement. The attacks of vertigo regressed, as did the pounding. The blood pressure went down to 112. Subjective improvement was rapid. The sclerosis did not advance in the year that followed. A year later, the patient returned with her symptoms less than before. Similar treatment brought further improvement. And now, sometime since the treatment was given, it is clearly evident when seeing the patient that the sclerosis is not causing further degeneration of the organism. The outer symptoms characteristic of sclerosis are regressing, and the rapid aging to which the patient had previously been subject is no longer happening. The end of case number 7. Case number 8, treatment of goiter. A woman who came to see us in her 34th year. She was the type of person whose whole mental makeup was strongly influenced by some degree of heaviness and inner brittleness of the physical body. It seemed as if every word she said was an effort. The concave nature of the face as a whole was highly characteristic. The root of the nose was like something held back in the organism. The patient stated that she had been delicate and sickly since her school days. As to actual diseases, she had only had a mild form of measles. She was always pale and always much tired, with a poor appetite. She was sent on from one physician to another with the following diagnoses made one after the other: pulmonary appendicitis, gastritis, anemia. To her own mind, the patient felt she was not so much sick in body, but more in soul. Having given the history, let us refer to the spiritual scientific diagnosis, so that we may then check everything against this. The patient showed high degree atony of the astral body. Atony, readers aside, is spelled A-T-O-N-Y, end of readers aside. This held the eye organization back from the physical and ether body. The whole of her conscious life was as though filled with a slight dim sleepiness. The physical body was exposed to the processes deriving from the substances introduced into the body. As a result, these substances were converted into parts of the human organization. The coherent vitality of ether body was excessively subdued by the eye and the astral body, which means that the inner response of general feeling for life and the sensation of bodily statics grew much too lively, the agility of the outer senses much too dull. All bodily functions, therefore, had to take a course that caused them to be out of harmony with each other. It was inevitable that the patient would have the feeling she could not hold the functions of her body together with the eye. This felt like psychic impotence to her. Because of this, she said, she was more sick in soul than in body. With increasing impotence of the eye and astral body, pathological conditions had to develop in the different parts of the body, which was also evident from the different diagnoses. Impotence of the eye came to expression in irregularities in glands, such as the thyroid and adrenals, also in irregularities in the gastrointestinal system. All this had to be expected in the case of this patient, and could indeed be established. Her goiter and the condition of the gastrointestinal system were wholly in accord with the spiritual scientific diagnosis. The following is highly characteristic. Because of impotence of the eye and the astral body, part of the need for sleep was met during waking hours, with the result that her sleep was much less deep than that of normal people. This was experienced as persistent insomnia by the patient. In connection with this, she had the feeling that she would go to sleep easily and wake up easily. Also, in connection with this, she thought she had numerous dreams, which, however, were not real dreams, but mixtures of dreams and waking impressions. They were not remembered, therefore, and did not touch her deeply, because the strength of the stimulus was reduced. In the internal organs, the impetus of the eye came to expression primarily in the lungs. Pulmonary appositis is really always indicative of a weak eye organization. The fact that the eye did not take metabolism to its completion was revealed in rheumatic symptoms. Menarche was at age 14. The weak eye organization did not provide sufficient development of strength to gear the menstrual process down again once it had got going. The work of the eye in this gearing down process comes to conscious awareness through the nerves that enter the spinal cord in the sacral region. Pain is felt in nerves if the currents of the eye organization and the astral body do not pass through them sufficiently. The patient complained of low back pain during her periods. All this showed the way to treatment as follows. We have found that colchicum autumnala acts as a powerful stimulant on the astral body, specifically the part corresponding to the neck and head organization. Colchicum autumnala is therefore used by us to treat all diseases where goiter is the outstanding symptom. We therefore gave the patient 5 drops of our colchicum preparation 3 times daily, and the goiter reduced in size with this, and the patient felt relieved. Once we have strengthened the astral body in this way, it also mediates a better function of the eye organization, and medicines with potential actions on the digestive and reproductive organs are then able to take effect in the organism. We used wormwood enemas for this purpose, mixing them with oil because oil acts as an excitant in the digestive tract. We saw significant improvement with this medicine. We believe this treatment can prove particularly effective around the 35th year of human life, as this is the time when the eye organization has a marked affinity to the rest of the organism and is easily stimulated if weak. The patient was 34 when she came to us. The end of case number 8. Case number 9. Migraine type states in the menopause. The patient came to us when she was 55. She stated that she had been a delicate, weak child. Apparently she had measles, scarlet fever, chicken pox, whooping cough, and mumps in her childhood. Menarche was at age 14 to 15. Menses were very strong and painful from the beginning. In her 40th year, she had a total hysterectomy because of a pelvic tumor. The patient also stated that from her 35th year, she had had 3-day episodes of migraine-type headaches every 3 or 4 weeks, which developed into a disease affecting the head lasting 3 days, with unconsciousness in her 46th year. The current spiritual scientific diagnosis was general weakness of the eye organization, coming to expression in the activity of the ether body, not being sufficiently inhibited by the eye organization. This resulted in vegetative organic functions spreading to the head and system of nerves and senses, something which does not reach that level if the eye organization is normal. Certain symptoms were in accord with this diagnosis. The first was frequent urgency of micturition. This was due to the fact that the normally developed astral body, which regulates elimination via the kidneys, was not opposed by a sufficiently strong eye organization, which would normally restrain it. A second symptom was that she went to sleep late and woke up tired. Once she had woken up, the vital activity deriving from sleep, which continues to take effect, was experienced as fatigue because of the weak eye. A third symptom was that she dreamed little. The eye organization only imprinted faint images on the astral body, and these could not come to expression in lively dreams. These insights led us to initiate treatment as follows. We had to clear the eye organization's way to the physical and ether body. We did this with sorrel salt, acid potassium oxalate, compresses on the forehead at night, and compresses with 7% urtica dioica solution on the lower abdomen in the mornings, with a 20% lime blossom solution on the feet at midday. The aim was to reduce vital activity during the night. The oxalate, which in the organism has the function of suppressing excessive vital activity, achieved this. In the mornings, we had to see to it that the eye organization found its way into the physical body. This was done by stimulating the circulation. The iron activity in the nettle was used for this purpose. It remained to encourage the penetration of the physical body with the eye organization in the course of the day. This was done by utilizing the derivative drawing effect of the lime blossom used at midday. The headaches, which we have described, had become more severe when the patient was in her 46th year. We had to connect these headaches with the cessation of her periods following the total hysterectomy, and see their worsening with loss of consciousness as a symptom of compensation for the menopause. We first attempted to improve this by using antimony. It should have given improvement if it had been a matter of general metabolism, which is regulated by the eye organization. No improvement was achieved. This proved that it was a matter of the relatively independent part of the eye organization that regulates mainly the reproductive organs. In our view, the root of potentilla tormentilla, given in high dilutions, should be the specific in this case, and it did indeed prove effective. The end of chapter 19.